Hey everybody, you're listening to President Sean's Rotary Roundabout, episode 17 for week 19 of the Rotary year, November 5th, 2018. Hello, fellow Rotarians and friends. I'm Sean Mullen, president of Club 27, the Rotary Club of Des Moines, Iowa. My year of service as president is for the Rotary year 2018-2019 that began on July 1st. Welcome back to Rotary Roundabout. Thanks for tuning in, and to all of you who are offering comments and ideas on this podcast, I really appreciate them, so keep them coming. This past weekend, my wife Sherry and I had the pleasure of representing Club 27 at the 6th Annual District 6000 Rotary Foundation Banquet in West Des Moines. The event was attended by 68 Rotarians and guests from across the district. It was good to learn that our district, District 6000, is a recognized leader in support of the Rotary Foundation for Zones 28 and 29. It was announced that for the Rotary year 2016-2017, our district was second in Zone 28 for annual giving at just over $479,000. It was second in Zone 28 for total giving at over $772,000, and was first in Zone 28 for total giving to Polio Plus from cash and district designated funds at $183,000. Wow, we are very generous district indeed. The evening's featured speaker was past District 6040 Governor Carl Chernery from Lee's Summit, Missouri. Carl joined Rotary in 1977 and served as District 6040's governor for the Rotary year 2003-2004. Carl has four brothers, and his father all contracted polio within 3 days of each other in 1942. When he was growing up, his mother and father hardly said a word about it. He knew very little about it, and he had no firsthand memories of being sick. In 1998, he was asked to be Polio Plus chairman for District 6040 for Rotary International. In order to prepare, he requested that his mother make some notes about their family experiences with polio. 2 weeks later, she presented him with a letter. The majority of the content of the letter was brand new to Carl and his siblings. Neither she nor his dad had talked about the polio experience for over 45 years. The Chinnery family at that time consisted of George Sr., the father, Artis, the mother, who has written the letter, George Jr., who was 9 at the time, Bill, who was 7, Richard, who was 5, Larry, who was 4, and Carl, who was 1. Here now is Carl Chinnery in his own words at the 6th Annual District 6000 Rotary Foundation Dinner.
Let us mentally transport ourselves back 1942 and enter the home and life of one family. The home belongs to a couple named George and Artis Chinnery and their 5 young boys, George age 9, Bill 7, Richard 5, Larry 4, Carl 1. Life is good for this family of 7. They have moved to the area 2 years earlier, and the father, George, has been promoted to a 1/3 owner of a regionally important manufacturing company in Kansas City. To get right into the picture, I want to read a letter written by the mother, my mother, written when she was 89 years old. This is not some mythical story. It is a story about me and my family, a typical family in the heart of America. Dear Carl, this is very hard for me, but you asked me, and just maybe it will help someone else. It must have been August 7th, 1942, when Bill came in and announced he had poliomyelitis. I didn't know where he had heard of such, but I said, if you have poliomyelitis, you go straight up to bed and stay there. And he did. He really did feel bad. We did the usual things to care of a sick person. He stayed in bed at least days. Then George became ill. I called Dr. Eldridge, our pediatrician, and he came several nights, but didn't give the illness a name until the night of August 11th. George couldn't swallow his medication. It came back up through his nose. I called the doctor again, and he came right over. Dad was on the road selling. I don't remember who stayed with the others, but Dr. Eldridge took George and me to Old General Hospital. They took George, but they wouldn't let me stay at all. No other hospital in Kansas City would accept us. I sputtered, but they wouldn't even let me go with George. I went home and called Dad. He started home immediately, drove all night, and went to the hospital about 4 a.m. But they wouldn't let him in either. He came home, and at about 7 a.m., the hospital called us and said George was dying, to come immediately, which we did. When we arrived, George was already gone. He was tied to the bed, feet at each corner of the bed, hands over his head and fastened at each corner, stripped naked. We stayed in his room as long as they would let us. And of course, Dad had to make arrangements, which he did. I firmly believe George probably would have passed away anyway, as he had bulbar polio. Most virulent strain, and probably choked on his own juices. However, I will always believe the treatment he received at the hospital killed him, just as much as the disease. I believe he was frightened to death, and will always think so. By that time, Richard, Larry, and Carl had also become sick, and when I got home from the hospital, Richard was much worse, and we rushed him to the hospital. When we marched in, I informed him I was staying. I had lost one child, and I was staying no matter what I did. I don't remember how long, but Dad and I took turns, so Richard always had one of us there. One of Dad's aunts had come to help us and stayed with Bill, Larry, and Carl. Carl was an infant and stayed in his crib much of the time. An intern was watching Richard and doing a pretty good job. Dad sent someone to get me to go to the funeral home to see George, and I wasn't able to go to the funeral home. When I got back to the hospital, Richard wasn't doing well. And in the night, during the intern's coffee break, I saw Richard's skin sink into his chest. All I could see were bones covered with skin drawn tight. I ran as fast as I could down the hall, calling the intern. He joined me, and we ran back to Richard. And this man picked Richard up and plunked him into an iron lung. He didn't even get ready. However, he didn't fight it, but breathed along with him. His lungs had collapsed. Radio stations throughout Kansas City put out a call for anyone who had had polio to please go to the hospital and give blood to save this man's life. One young man or boy answered and gave his blood. We never did see the boy or have any idea who he was. He had walked miles to help someone he had never heard of before. I am most grateful to this unknown person. Richard was whiter than this paper and failing. The machine was breathing for him, but when they started giving him the boy's blood, it was like a prisoner. His skin gradually started turning the most beautiful pink anyone has ever seen, and he started coming back. I don't remember how long we were at the hospital, but they treated us much better. when we went home, we had to start the kidney treatments. There was one nurse at Old Children's Mercy Hospital who would give us the treatments, and Dan would go after her and take her back 3 times a week. Since it was wartime, gasoline was rationed. We didn't have enough gas stamps. But people we had never heard of, and some we knew quite well, gave us stamps so we could get this nurse. We had to add 100% wool blanks to tear into strips and put in boiling water, run through a tight wringer, and place on each child for so many minutes, then off for so many minutes, then on, etc. Dad put a hot plate in an upstairs bathroom to boil the water. He put an old wringer over the tub with a stack of 100% wool strips handy. Bill had done better and was on his way to recovery. Richard, Larry, and Carl were the sick ones now. Dad hired nurses to help during the day, and my dear mother drove from Concord, California, to help, plus a very loyal girl who helped me for several years who had become a whack in the Army. She told them her family needed her, and they let her come home. We were one busy Army ourselves. When the boys were well enough, we had to start therapy. Compliments of the March of Dimes. I took my children and another lady in leg braces and her little boy 3 times a week. Richard had one leg a little shorter than him. He walked kind of crippled for a long time. Carl's chest never filled out. Bill had many problems. And of course, we had one little boy, Angel, in heaven. People came from everywhere to give us hope and offered to help, but they couldn't come in the house. Post-polio syndrome seems to be rampant now. Fatigue is the main symptom, it seems.
Today, Carl is an attorney in Lee Summit. For the most part, he recovered from polio, though his chest didn't quite fill out. His back is quote-unquote screwed up, and one leg is about an inch and a half shorter than the other. His brothers also survived. He estimates he's given more than 250 presentations about polio and Rotary's efforts to eliminate the virus around the globe. That he became involved in Rotary, which has become synonymous with polio eradication efforts, was more an accident than intent. He says, it just happened. He says, I joined Rotary in 1977, a long time before, and you wonder if things happened for the right reasons. His presentation was well received by all, and he even entertained those in attendance with a few magic tricks, too. I want to be sure and direct your attention to our Facebook page, where we're highlighting our newest member, John Schmidt, with a slideshow of his introduction from last week. This is something new that we're trying out, and we'd like your feedback. You won't want to miss this week's keynote speaker, Michael Gardner, who is owner of the Iowa Cubs and has had a long tenure in the news industry. He's always entertaining and insightful. Please think about someone you know who might be interested in this presentation and invite them to be your guest. Our new member orientation committee will be meeting and welcoming new members this Thursday at 11 a.m. in the Blue View Room. A special shout out of thanks to Brooke Smith, who once again is heading up our annual Thanksgiving food card donations. Your $50 contribution will help assure that a family in need will be able to enjoy a Thanksgiving meal. Signups will be on the tables for the next few weeks. You may recall receiving an email from District 6000 regarding Rotary's Council on Resolutions. Susan Herrick from the Boone Club is our district representative. She is requesting input from interested Rotarians on the slate of resolutions that will be voted on by the Council on Legislation. You can learn more at rotary.org. That's a wrap on this episode of Rotary Roundabout. Feel free to let me know what you'd like to have featured or other ways that I can make this medium beneficial to our club. And if you're enjoying these podcasts, please share and pass along to others who might enjoy them. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to seeing you around Rotary.